Several years ago, I found an article. It was written by Ray Gonzalez, no relationship to Orlando, of Mexico. And that's the article got me thinking, and I've done this lesson before, but I wanted to bring it up again. It went well with last month's theme, and it is some of the ideas are even for this month. Something that we ought to consider. The article basically goes as this. There's Shorty, just standing there, scoping out the morning. Where will he strike today? Like a tiger, he's smelling the air to see where he may find prey. Shorty is a local drug addict. He's been on heroin for over 10 years. He washes windows at a local gas station. A good way to check out which cars are worth breaking into. This morning, Shorty will get a $2 fix at about 9 a.m. It will only make him feel normal. After washing windows, panhandling, he will get his midday fix at just about 12:30 p.m. This time, it will cost him $5.50. He'll go back to the gas station and plan the evening with his buddies. They'll consider their best hit, an empty house or an unlocked car. They might break into a home and steal a VCR. Shows you how old this article is. It was a hot item back then. And they will sell it for $10. In all, they might make $50 from stealing and selling. With that, they will get their $10 fix that will hold them over until the next day. From time to time, the police will arrest him and lock him up for a couple of weeks, and then he's out again doing the same thing. To Shorty, life has simply become a life of instinct. He cares little about his family or what others think of him. He has lost all sense of shame. Time in jail is time wasted. It doesn't remind him that he is more than an animal. Now, Shorty believes he is an animal. Like a leopard in a jungle, so he acts like one. Now, it's simply nature to him to steal and use drugs. Now, today's society has many shorties, addicted, not necessarily to drugs, but addicted, and doing whatever it takes to obtain their fix. It is nature for many to get an abortion, gamble, or fornicate. To others, being on top, exercising dominion over others is their addiction. It is simply nature to trample over whoever gets in the way. As one relative once said as we sat at the table to eat, "Why wait for others? Let's dig in. After all, it's a dog-eat-dog world." The Lord calls us to overcome, to pass over human standards in Matthew 5:20. He knows the competition and the power of the flesh, yet he calls us to beat our bodies and to run against our passions in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. With his help, we will win. Saying it's only nature to act like an animal is to deny the existence of God. In the movie African Queen, with Humphrey Bogart and as Charlie Amott and Katharine Hepburn as Rose, there's a wonderful scene that brings to light this article. After getting drunk, Mr. Arnott justifies himself. It's only nature that man should take a swig every once in a while. In turn, Rose, a devout Methodist, reveals her faith. Nature, Mr. Arnott, is what we have been called to rise above. As God's children, let us have his image in all things and let us rise above the instincts of the flesh. Well, got to go lock the gates. Shorty and his buddies are on the prowl. Throughout the Bible, we find people who basically act more like animals than like humans. Esau, who sold his birthright in a very large, wealthy estate, he did it for a bowl of bean soup, red bean soup, because he was hungry after a hunt. In Hebrews chapter 12, And in verse 16, it says that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with many tears. He was just running on instinct. I'm hungry now. And that's all that mattered to him. The Israelites turned to celebrating the flesh, because Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and who knows when Moses was going to come back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then starting at verse 6. Now these things happen as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. People will often just act like animals. The number of warnings to leave the ways of nature, the ways of the flesh, the ways of the world. Think about it. If you made a list of all those passages that talk about those things, it'd be staggering, the number of passages that you would list out. But let's take a look at just one of them. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and starting at verse 17. So I say this, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught in him, at just as truth as in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, having been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. He starts out basically saying the Gentiles, those of the world, are involved in useless thoughts. Another way to look at it is that they were without reason. They're behaving like animals. A lot of the sins that we get caught up with are based on instinct or emotions. And oftentimes the counter to that is to use your logic, use your reasoning. This morning I talked about OCD. A lot of OCD is based on emotional responses. I spent an hour this afternoon talking a young man out of that very thing. He got locked up on an item. And this is what we talked about. Use your reason. Where does this come from? Think about it. But we have to understand we're all once foolish. In Titus chapter 3... Titus 3 and in verse 3. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. We've all acted based on our emotions. We've all, at times, basically acted like animals. But we're not to be that way anymore. Paul also said that these Gentiles were excluded in Ephesians because of ignorance. In 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. A lot of the sins that we get involved in is simply because we don't really understand the ramifications of them. We don't really think about them. You know, if people really understood what sin was doing to them, it wouldn't be nearly as appealing. But most never stop to think. They just do, and then are surprised that there are consequences to the doing. And so sin is basically a darkness that keeps the person practicing sin blind to the truth. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, we've all been there. We've all been in darkness. We've all done things because I didn't bother to learn. And I was deceived by sin to do things that I didn't think about the consequences of. So sin is practiced because people just really don't understand and know God. In 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting at verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. God's will is that we be sanctified, that we be special. And yet a lot of people don't understand God. They see God as just waiting for you to trip up so he can zap you. God wants you to be holy. Now, God will act with justice. But he's trying to get you to change. But Paul, back in Ephesians, also said, though, that people were rejected because they were excluded because of the stubbornness in their heart. See, that's another reason why people stay in sin. They're just plain stubborn. That's the charge against the Israelites all the way through their history. How much they were a stubborn people. But you see, to reject God's desire for us to be holy, you know, in reality, we're rejecting God himself. In 1 Thessalonians again, we'll start with verse 7. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gave his Holy Spirit to you. Why do people do that? Well, it's due to the fact that they put themselves first. Self-willed. It's what I want to do. So therefore, it's what I do. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and at verse 10, it says, especially those who indulge in the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. It doesn't matter what God said to these people. Is what I want in the moment. There's an interesting passage that back in Psalms. In Psalms 32, and in verse 9, Psalms 32, verse 9. Do not be as the horse or as a mule who have no understanding, whose trapping includes bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. We don't want to be like a donkey or a mule. They're notorious for being stubborn. And basically what the writer points out is the only reason they do anything at all is not because they understand that, hey, this is good. They do it because they're basically forced to, because they got a bit and a bridle that doesn't allow them to do much else. How do we live our lives? Does God have to put a bit in your mouth to get you to conform? Then start using your reasoning. Start using your understanding. And stop being so stubborn. But if we go back to Ephesians again, the next thing he says is they were calloused to sin. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Or 1 Timothy, sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. This is what happens when we repeatedly sin. It stops bothering us. And that was a problem in the Gentile world. They'd never stop to think of how wrong they are because that's what they've always done. We got a world like that now. Start talking about some of these sins and people look at you cross-eyed saying, what are you talking about? This is just the way things are. Try telling a compulsive liar that lying's wrong. Now everybody lies. That's the problem that sin causes. And he also charges them as giving over to sensuality. It's all about what pleases me, what pleases my senses. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and starting at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. We've all been in the past. We've all allowed our senses to overrule our reason. But we should become dead to that. Because while we were following that, we were dead to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, but you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit of that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But Paul goes on and says, you didn't learn Christ that way. You did not, from the way that the world lives, learn to become a Christian, a follower of Christ. See, the body is not for immorality. As Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting in verse 13. For food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for the food, yet God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Why do we have a body here? Because God gave it to us. And he didn't give it to us to sin with. He gave it to us to serve him with. We're not here to gratify the desires of our bodies. We're here to make our bodies serve God. We're here to please God. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that whole book is about why we're here on earth, why God made mankind. And at the very end is the conclusion. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and starting at verse 13, it says the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. What's our purpose here? God created us to serve him. And that's what we ought to be doing. But Paul also mentions in Ephesians that not only our body is not for immorality, you know, when we start putting the world as top priority, the world is temporary. It's not going to last. It's going away. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and starting at verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Which do you choose? The temporary or the permanent? Should be an easy choice. But we make it so difficult. So many people put so much effort in doing things that just don't last. And Paul goes on in Ephesians 4 to say that we must consider ourselves to be dead to sin. In Colossians chapter 3, something we just studied not too long ago, Colossians 3 and verse 1, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. We need to consider the fact that, yeah, we were there once, but we died to them. In fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We put it to death. That's because we are in Christ. And the reason we are united with Christ, when we get united with Christ in baptism, is to crucify sin and then be free from the slavery of sin. And in Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And jumping down to verse 11, it says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body as to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. To give in to sin only merely spreads sin. It makes sin go further. It doesn't stop it. And yes, I hear so many times people give that excuse. Well, I'm just going to do it one more time, and then I'll be it. No, it spreads it. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, again, verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves to the impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. See, if we live according to the flesh, well, the world's going to die. The world's temporary. If we live according to the world and follow its standards, we're going to go along with it. And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 12, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so we got to understand, what is born of flesh is flesh. It's temporary. What comes from this world is a part of this world, and it dies with the world. In John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we no longer live for ourselves. We live for Christ. In 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they may live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Christ died so that we might be free from sin. So it no longer is about me. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So rather than giving in to our desires, we got to make no provisions for it. We got to make it so that there's no room for them. In Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 12, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. You know, basically, that movie, The African King Queen, Rose was right. We've been called to rise above nature, to be something incredibly special, not common like the world. One last passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace we have brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. Again, there's an opportunity right now. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.